What's up, everybody? This is your girl, Nia, and welcome back to another episode with Chit Chat with Nia. Now, I know I said I had part two coming of the Amityville Horror, which I did. And it's so hard to record when you're in quarantine with the folks. And as soon as I'm in the middle of recording it, the folks come in and then I stop and then it's hard to get back to. But excuses. Welcome back for part two of the Amityville murders. And the part where we're going to talk about the Lutz family, who moved in about a year and a half after the DeFeo family murders. So if you haven't checked out part one, that is on all platforms, including this one on Anchor. But it's also up on YouTube as an audio. I wrote two articles. Sorry, you guys, I'm all like, huh? I got the nun, and I'll go into this, but I wrote two papers, one on Vocal Media, if you follow me there, I'm Nia on Air, or my Medium blog, which is called Nia on Air now as well. But if you type in the medium.com/@ OMG It's ITZ Keisha, probably will be the fastest way to find my blog. And all of these links are in the description in the wherever you're listening to box. There should be information on how to get to those places. And this will also be loaded up on YouTube for those of you who don't listen to the podcast version. But those of you who do, thank you so much. Rocking that thin line of almost 30,000 listeners. So shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for rocking out with me. I will have a mental health check-in coming up. I've read some pretty good books since I've been on quarantine. And I want to share, you know, some of my story with you guys. Also, Layers to My Soul, which is actually a private poetry journal, like, book that I'm going to put out. So all my deepest, most of my darkest might make it a series. Deepest, darkest secrets, feelings, thoughts, poems, whatever, you name it, it's going to be in there. I'm pretty open to putting this out because why not? And hopefully can help someone who might be going through or have went through the same things, because it's nice to relate to someone on that level when, you know, you've personally walked that path. So check it out. It'll be out soon. I will have more information on when. I'm just finishing up some finishing touches, and some might make it to the second book because I have like 2-3 journals, and putting them all, formatting them and stuff has been a joy. So maybe I'll do a video on how I put that together. Let me know if you guys want to see that. So anyways, enough about all of what's going on, what's happening. There'll be more what's going on and what's happening episodes coming on where I'll just talk about just this stuff. Right now, I want to record this Lutz family, their side of it, which is actually from George's point of view. I watched a documentary, which I'll link that documentary below. With all the rest of the references about the Lutz family, I do want to say that I'm no way, disagreeing or saying what happened to them didn't happen to them. I just have a different thought. Do I believe in paranormal? Let's start there. Do I believe in the paranormal world? Yes. Yes. I'm not going to deny it. Do I believe in people getting possessed? Not necessarily by the devil, but demonic entities? I guess, yes, if I believe in paranormal, yeah, I do. Do I believe that places can be haunted? It is said, and this is coming in another episode, when I do my mental asylum episode that I've been working on for you guys. It's said that in a documentary that I was listening to, that the workers, when someone would die in a mental institution, they would open the windows so their souls could be let out, so they wouldn't be stuck in the mental institution roaming the hallways. Do I believe that? Yes, I do. If you guys don't already know, like, one, I could love conspiracy theories, and we'll get into some of them. I'm not going to get into my conspiracy theories on coronavirus. Just not going to do it. But other than that, you want to talk about Area 51. You want to talk about paranormal activities. If I can talk. Folklore, then yes. Things like that, I'm down. I got it for days. Like, you, some people don't understand, how is it that I'm on this spiritual vibe of, you know, getting to know me spiritually in a different form. I'm not committed to a specific religion. Instead, I take teachings that I believe in my spirit from other spiritual teachings. So I guess you can say religions. I don't like labeling myself. So I'm just a spiritual person. I believe in spiritual beings, both good and bad. So, you know, we'll get into all of that. I don't have a problem with it. If I'm writing a book about, like, my deep, dark secrets, and I'm going to put it out and let some people, you know, talk their shit, then, hey, I couldn't possibly care what you think about my path to finding myself spiritually. However, I'd love to share it to those who like to listen. Anyways, enough about me, that stuff, because The Nun is playing. And side note, I've been trying to watch this movie for a 7-day trial for HBO, because HBO, y'all play $14.99 for your subscription. No, ma'am. Okay. No, ma'am. I don't even know what comes on HBO that I would pay, invest $14. So, no. But The Nun is on there, and I signed up for the 7-day trial because I wanted to watch The Nun and come on here and talk about it. And I know I'm late to the party and all that stuff, but I can't even get to through the damn movie, child. Like, I'm asleep by, I don't know what part. Oh, I think by the time they in the graveyard. So I'm super asleep, like, real early. When they're in the graveyard and he in that thing ringing the bell and she looking for him, by that time, your girl is sleeping. The only movie that has ever done this to me, brace yourselves, I know some people are going to be like, oh my gosh, is Twilight. I couldn't get through Twilight to save my life. Rest in peace to my mom, because she watched two of them while I fell asleep on the first one within like 20 minutes. I think when he stopped the bus, I was asleep. always fell asleep at that part. But my shout out to my mom, because she watched it and she thought it was a beautiful story. She loved it. And she was not into those type of movies. Like, I took this woman to see The Mummy and she was scared. So shout out to her for falling in love with Twilight, because your girl can't get through Twilight. I've given up. I won't even try because I'll fall asleep. I fell asleep in It. It too is on there and I want to watch it, but the first one isn't up there, and the first one was, and I fell asleep. So it sucks when you are like rooting for a movie. Like, I root for the Conjuring series. I root for it. Like, James Wan is amazing, but he can get too far. He can go too far, but he's amazing. I love him and the other guy, I forgot his name. I love them. They did Saw. Like, Saw was mind blowing. However, I just can't. What? The Nun is supposed to be so scary. So like, probably like supposed to be like the Exorcist of our time. So I've heard. Well, I fell asleep in the Exorcist too. So I don't know. Love serial killers. Let's get into it. The Lutz family. Before I get twisted up on why. They moved in to the High Hopes Horror Murder House on December 19th, 1975. They lived there for less than 30 days. I believe the exact number, and I'm just drinking coffee here, you guys. I think the exact number is 28 days they lived in there. They left claiming supernatural paranormal activity was taking place in the home, and they left their things and just took off. Just a little background. The Lutz knew about what happened to the DeFeo family. George Lutz went as far and said, let's see if I can find it, that the Lutz knew that there was something wrong. The DeFeo family knew there was something wrong with Butch, but they never addressed it. They always used to sweep it under the rug. So this is coming from George Lutz himself, which is kind of weird that you know this background. First of all, he knew the background before buying the house for $88,000, which, cool. I don't know if they're supposed to disclose the background to you. I think it depends on the state. I'm not sure. But you knew what happened. He still felt like it was a steal because, like we said in part one, if you haven't heard, make sure you listen to that one. But it is a two-story colonial Dutch home with a third floor that's an attic, a ground pool with a sun porch, and a boathouse overlooking a canal. So it was a good investment to him in 1975 to purchase this home that's $88,000. I'm not sure what. Let's look up what the home is worth now. I think the home is like worth a fair amount of money. 1112 Ocean Avenue, Amityville, New York. Let's see what this house is going for, because $88,000 in his mind, what he states, was not that was very cheap for what it came with. So the house was 1112 Ocean Avenue, but it looks like in the 70s, the late 70s, almost 80s, they changed it to 108 Ocean Avenue to try to keep people from driving by. So as of 2016, the house is worth $850,000. When the murders took place, as of New York Daily News article, June 3rd, 2016, they're saying that the house was worth $75,000. George Lutz states he paid $88,000 for the home. So the home is worth $850,000. Is it worth that to a person who probably doesn't believe in, I guess, the paranormal of it? They changed the address. So would you purchase it? Is a question. I don't think I would personally, but given its history. So George went on to say that, you know, once they moved in, he would wake up around 3:15 every morning and go down to the boathouse. It's not said if he didn't say it in a way like it was a possession type of thing. He just said that he would wake up at the same time every morning and he would go and check the boathouse to make sure it's locked. There was a boat in there, an investment to him. So he, at that time, he would always wake up and go check the boathouse. It sounds like it was a routine more so than it was something possessing him. At least that's how he made it sound. So, you know, I'm not sure about that. But then he would go on to state that flies would swarm the house, even in the cold months. And then Kathy Lutz would go on, and her part of what she experienced is that she would have nightmares about murder all the time. She'd wake up with bruises on her body. And she states that she always felt like there were demonic unseen forces around her. And both George and Kathy claimed that they saw images of a demon with half his head cut off. If you heard the first episode, then you understand the half head concept. I'm not sure if that's just something that they read, because that would probably be public knowledge if that's what happened in the DeFeo murders. Somebody's head was blown off. I believe it was Dawn. So if that information is public, then for you to say that's kind of like, okay. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. So I'm just speaking from my end. But allegedly, this is the things that they're saying. Their daughter, Missy, had an imaginary demonic entity, we'll call it, named Jody. Jody could shapeshift to different things, but preferred to be a small pig. George Lutz also said that the window, when you look at the house from the front, the window on the right was the worst room in the house. And the window on the left, which was Missy's room, the window on the right was a sewing room. The window on the left was Missy's room, and which was the best room in the house. He didn't go into detail of why the one on the right was worse than the one on the left, but he did make note that that is the worst room in the house. I believe Lorraine said that was one of the rooms that was hard for her to go through on a documentary that I watched about her view when she went into the Amityville Horror House, murder house, in, I believe it was March of 1976. But March 6, 1976 is when Lorraine and Ed Warren and Jerry, a man from Duke University, and a Dr. Tin House went to investigate the Amityville house on March 6, 1976. George Lutz said that he never been back to the house since they left the 28 days after they decided to just leave. He just gave them the keys, let them go in, and that was that. supposedly Dr. Tin House levitated 2 feet off the ground when he walked into the house, but then he denied that ever, he denied even being in the house on national television, even though there's photos of him in the house with the Warrens. He still said that he didn't want, he wasn't there because he didn't want to be associated with the house. After, I believe, Ed and Lorraine got involved and it got pretty media buildup and books and movies and stuff, people really didn't want to be involved anymore with this house. So, you know, they were taking back their accusations that anything demonic was going down in that house. Let's see. I talked about that. Also, here's another thing with me. Excuse me, guys. I have a little cold. No, I don't have corona. It's just cold in here. The Lutz family furniture was auctioned off in July of 1976. Excuse me, July of 1977, because they never went back to the house to get their things. Plus, they paid $400 extra for the things of the DeFeo family in that home. So they just completely just got up and just left everything, left it to auction off, and never looked back. I think that's the whole furniture thing. I don't know if it's like a back in the day type of thing or if people do it now. I just personally wouldn't want other people's belongings, especially if I found out that those belongings, like the folks, were murdered. It's just not. I compared it to, I live in Colorado. I live about 10 minutes away from the Watts family house. And I've went by the Watts family house, which is the biggest, beautiful house on the street. You can see it from the main street. I know the furniture's not in there. It's abandoned, unfortunately. It's still very sad to go next to that house. However, it is not a house that I'd want to purchase. Do I know for sure that anybody died in that house? No. Minus the wife and her unborn child. No, I do not. But I do not have a inkling of wanting to be in the house, to live in a house where I know somebody died, yet alone purchase the same furniture that they pooched around on and just go on about my daily life. Like, oh, well, bad things happen. Yeah, bad things happen, but I don't want to be a part of the bad things that happen, because, like, I do believe in possession of things, and I don't know how the people feel about their things. Like, I am not in that world, but I'm not trying to touch your stuff if you don't want your stuff touched. If you still pooching around in here and I'm pooching around in here and we're just on two different planes, that just doesn't sound like a good idea to me. But everybody thinks differently. What do you guys think? Do you believe a house alone can be haunted? Because, Lorraine Warren states that the house is just haunted. She only believes the house is just haunted. She does not believe that the people who go in are haunted. So do you believe that a house can be haunted? Or do you believe that demonic things can attach themselves to things and people, and that anything that could possibly go in that house could, whatever demonic could attach itself to that person and give them the runaround? Because, I mean, we can look into if another family stayed in the Amityville house, but seems to me it's always on the market. Don't know the reasons why. I do look into it every so often, every couple years, just curious to know. And it doesn't stay occupied long, but if it does and I'm wrong, please correct me. You know where to find me. If you feel this was a good episode and you want more episodes like this, which you will get regardless, make sure you let me know in the comments below. You guys comment, because I will answer you if you follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter especially. I will answer you. We can have dialogue about this. I love hearing everybody's opinions. People that reach out and give their opinion to me about this whole Amityville thing. But what do you think? Do you think the Lutes couldn't take the green slime coming through the walls? One of their other accusations. Do you think that they were in over their head? What do you think happened? What are your thoughts? And what are your thoughts on the paranormal world? And would you live in the house even though people died there and keep the furniture for an extra $400? I would not, but hey, people do some wild things. Anyways, I'll be back for a mental health check-in, which is our next one, while working on The Night Stalker, who is coming up next on our list for true crime and serial killer talk, my favorite subject. So make sure you hit that like button, make sure you comment below, and let me know your thoughts and opinions on all of the Amityville horror and Amityville house, Amityville murder information. I love you guys like always. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. Stay loved. And I will talk to you real soon. Bye.